I want to read this scripture that's going to be our foundational scripture for the Surround series. And check this out, church. I have my own clicker for this screen. My own clicker. I've come a long way. It's about to get fancy. Somebody tell Tim Cook, my pastor's got a clicker too. Amen. I want to share a presentation of God's word and a presentation of some vision today with you. And my special edition surround screen. Surround sound Bible. For you to follow along. We're studying in Isaiah chapter 48 verses 3 through 6, specifically verse 5. The prophet Isaiah says the following, I foretold the former things long ago. He's speaking on behalf of God. And he's reminding God's people of the promises that God made and has since fulfilled. He said, I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly, sometimes it seems like it's taking a long time for God to work in your life. But then you come to a moment where you see that it didn't take God a long time because he was struggling to get it done, but he was preparing you. He was preparing you for the promise. If I say suddenly, then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's your verse. He's talking about you. I finally found a verse that reminds me of my children. Amen, she said. Your neck muscles were iron. In this case, it's not a compliment, fellas. He said your forehead was bronze. In other words, you got a hard head. You got a hard head, he's saying, to God's people. And here's the key verse. He says, therefore, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you could not say, my images brought them about, my wooden image and metal God ordained them. And we'll come back to that, but let's look at verse 6 too. Where he says, you have heard all these things, look at them all. You've heard all these things, look at them all. Will you not admit them? The evidence is all around. Will you not admit them? You know, in legal speak, they have inadmissible evidence, right? There's something wrong with it, you can't use it. And God says, there's no inadmissible evidence. Everything that I've done in your life up to this point ought to be proof to you of my power and my promise. And you got to admit that I've been there for you and acknowledge that I acted after I announced my plans. So from now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. We're going to be talking about the new things that God is doing in our church and in our lives as we end this year. But first, we want to talk about how God told us these things long ago. I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you so that you could not say, my images brought them about. The title of this message will be a lot of fun for you to say to your neighbor. So I want you to find everybody you can around you and tell them my title today. The title of this message is, I told you so. Find as many people as you can reach. Tell them, I told you so. 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 And now you may be seated. Simon Says, I told you so. Thank you, worship team. Fantastic. Elevation Worship, new album releases in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And you'll get to get it before everybody else does. We're releasing it early to our church in 2 weeks. Amen. It'd be incredible. I told you so. I told you so. Of course, this passage, as we saw, is in many ways an indictment of how we as God's people don't trust him like we should. And he's saying that God is gracious even when we forget what he's done, and he will surround us with evidence of his faithfulness so we can trust in him for what is to come. Isaiah knows a few things about God's people. He ministered to the nation of Israel, and he found them to have many problems. Now, just like a good parent, the scripture says that we can see God as our perfect heavenly Father, our perfect heavenly Father. And as a good parent, God knows that his children have some issues. And sometimes as a parent, you just got to say to your child, I told you so. That's what God is doing here. Because God knows that his children tend to have five things. You can write these down. They won't be on my special screen. But God's children tend to have the following issues and hindrances. We tend to have small dreams, skeptical minds, stubborn hearts, selfish motivations, and short-term memories. Welcome to church. I mean, tell it like it is. Sometimes as God's people, we tend to have small dreams, skeptical minds, stubborn hearts, bronze foreheads, the prophet said, selfish motivations, and short-term memories, or perhaps I should say selective memories. We remember some stuff, and we remember what it is sometimes to our disadvantage to remember, and we forget what would be to our advantage to recall. God knows that about us, so he says here in the fifth verse, I am reminding you of the evidence of my faithfulness. In other words, as you go forward into your future, I want you to see how I've surrounded you with the evidence of my faithfulness in your past, the evidence of my power and my promises. That is certainly the story of this church. In fact, you being here today at all of our different locations is evidence of God's faithfulness. You are the people that I prayed for a decade ago when we were just beginning to dream about this church. And now the evidence is in. Here you are. Here we are. And God has surrounded us as a church. He told us long ago. In fact, one thing I've always done since I've been the pastor of this church is stand up and say ridiculous things that I believe that God had put in my heart, that at the time I saw no way that it could happen, but I believe God was speaking to me that I should say it. How many know that sometimes you got to say it before you can see it? You got to start speaking about joy before you feel joy. You got to start speaking that your kids are disciplined before they start acting right. You got to speak about some things before you see them. We got to sometimes be the kinds of people who don't have to see it to believe it. But we believe it and then we can see it. One time, Jesus told the disciple that we call Doubting Thomas. Poor dude, by the way. He doubted once. And for the rest of history in the canon of Christendom, he is known as Doubting Thomas. How would you like it if you were nicknamed after everything that you did once? Some of the nicknames you would have, I can't say in church. You know, it's just crazy to me. Like you get in one car wreck and for the rest of your life, you're car wreck Willie. Like it was one wreck. It was one doubt. But Jesus said, I'm okay with doubters. I'm okay with skeptics. I'm okay with stubborn people. Come and feel the place where they put the nails in my hand. Come and feel the place where they drove the spikes in my feet. And when Thomas touched him, he said, you're blessed because you saw and you believed. But blessed are those even more who have not seen and yet believe. So when we were first starting the church, I would say these crazy things that I believed came from the Spirit of God. I hoped, I crossed my fingers. And there was a team of people who would believe in what they could not see. And now we see the evidence of what we believed. Awesome. It's the way faith works. The evidence is all around. I told our video team to call in some of those people who've been in the church for a long time and to let them sit down and listen to audio clips of me before I hit puberty, apparently. When my accent was much more twangy, and listen to some of the things that God spoke to us and talk about what it felt like to believe what they couldn't see. And now, what does it feel like to see the evidence all around us? Check out this video. Pretty cool.
but I knew that the calling that God had placed on my life was to dive into the middle of metropolitan lost humanity and build a powerful church in a city that would affect that city, in a city with worldwide influence. And I feel like God's doing something very special at this church. I think he's up to something big here. We won't be able to fit in this room very much longer, in case you can't tell. And I believe it's only just begun. We're just getting started. The momentum is starting to build. And hopefully, you feel like you were part of something fresh and new. You're in on the ground level of an absolute move of God at Elevation Church.
From the beginning, it always felt like it was going to be something that had a lot of movement and growth. It didn't feel like it was going to be small for very long.
Everyone in the room was excited. There was probably less than 50 of us.
We came to Elevation when there was only about 115 people coming at the time.
That first Sunday was like 20 people.
500 seemed an audacious goal at that point.
And what I want to know is, are y'all ready to have 2,000 people at church every Sunday? Because that's just going to be par for the course here in about 12 months, 18 months.
At first it was like, how can this happen? How can this possibly happen? I mean, it's too far out there. When he started talking about reaching the city of Charlotte for the Lord,
I just remember looking around going, it's going to happen, but where? Where are we going to fit everyone?
So we used to get these things, these magnets that said like goals for 2007. And I remember seeing the magnets and it said like 1,000 people in church by Christmas. You know, I can't see how a church that's less than a year old is going to grow to 1,000 people by Christmas. But sure enough, by the end of 2006, there was 1,000 people at Christmas. And so we'd get our magnet for the next year, or get our thing that said the goals for the next year. And it was, you know, 2,500 people by Easter. And I was like, I don't know why we make these goals. Like, that's ridiculous. We don't have anywhere to put 2,500 people.
Over 2,000 people attended one of our worship experiences in one of our two locations yesterday on Easter Sunday. And that's pretty phenomenal for a church in our 14th month of existence. And we believe we ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm so glad you're along for the ride.
And we were just a small group of a couple hundred people. How can it possibly happen? And yet, as we saw it happen time and time again, we began to grow in our faith. And yeah. God's reaching Charlotte. He's doing it. He's bringing to fulfillment what he's promised.
And there were like more people that showed up the very next week and are going, what is going on here? This is so crazy.
We believed big, but we didn't know what big was going to look like. You can just quote out numbers. I mean, you hope and pray, but now that you see it and that you experience it, it's ridiculous.
We want kind of a warehouse facility with access to 485, something that would almost double our current seating capacity. We discovered that there's this building off of 485, less than a minute, off of exit 51, Independence Boulevard, 45. And I know that tonight when we pray, I feel like God has spoken to me, something will transact in heaven. And so tonight we're going to do that. We're going to move ahead. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. And so I'm just going to proceed with this thing like we know we've got the warehouse, and God's going to do what he wants to do.
Everything seemed to be falling in place, and, you know, to move down here to Matthews, and they were coming down. I had a couple of busloads of people coming to pray over, you know, just pray over the building.
And I just remember being in the offices that day, and there just being like this kind of sense of, oh man, something's gone wrong, and doesn't look like we're gonna get it. The building looks like it's all falling through, but we're supposed to tell the leaders it's gonna happen tonight.
We were gonna get on the buses and we were gonna go pray and thank God for, you know, fulfilling his promises to us. And we all showed up at Levine Center excited, and Pastor had to stand up and tell us that it wasn't gonna be ours.
Pastor's like, well, we're on our way to pray over the building. We're gonna pray over the building.
And I remember, like, I still have the picture in my head of us riding in these, like, rented school buses.
We pull up into this parking lot. It's dirty. There's glass on the ground.
Everybody loaded out of these buses, and it was, like, just circles of clumps of people kind of praying over this loading dock. And I remember just, like, looking back, like, this is not normal, whatever's happening here. This is, like, something. God's in the middle of whatever this is here.
Got down on our knees and claimed that the Matthews facility would be ours. And to look back, that's probably one of the highlights of our time at Elevation, is to see what God did.
And then, what, a year or two later, I remember the baptisms on that same loading dock where we had prayed. And watching baptisms that signified changed lives at that facility where we prayed was very emotional, very amazing.
don't know, some sporting arena in the city that seats somewhere around 10,000 people. I know why only three people are clapping here at this, at the Providence campus, because y'all think that's crazy. We believe that God wants us to reach over 10,000 people in worship by the year 2010. That's going to require massive resources. So although we don't have our eyes on a particular piece of land or a particular building, although we don't know the strategy, we know the vision.
10K in 2010. And I was like, 10,000 what? There ain't no way that's going to happen. 10K in 2010, are you kidding me?
I feel like at the time, 10,000 felt totally crazy.
It was like, there is literally no way that that can happen except God.
When we were in so many separate campuses, a lot of times you don't realize how big our church is. And then when we had Easter Sunday at the arena, I think we all kind of gasped a little.
I grew up in a small Methodist church where everybody fit in nice and neat in their pews, and to sit there at an arena watching people come into church and line up, that's unheard of.
I'm in the middle of the arena too, so in the middle of the floor of Time Warner, singing, you know, "You're Stronger, You're Stronger." It's a big song for our church at the time, and then baptisms are happening 5 feet from me, just one after the other after the other. And it was, there were just so many promises that were like kind of being fulfilled at that point.
I'm grateful for Pastor Stephen because he isn't afraid to speak things that people will say are crazy. You speak them and God makes them come true.
I kept thinking, if this is 2010 and we have 10,000, what's going to happen in 2012 and 2014 and 2020?
What we're seeing right now in the first 8 years of our church is just laying a foundation for what God wants to do over the decades to come.
I think seeing God's faithfulness for our church with his favor on it, you know that it's not about what the people are doing, because there's no way that one person can orchestrate that many people showing up.
I quit trying to predict, because my thinking's way too small about where I think our church will end up or whatever. And I hear chunks, you know, tell us like, okay, well, here's the plan for this next location. And I think, you know, by the end of this year, we're going to do this here. And I'm like, really? Okay. I mean, sure. Why not? Kind of thing. Like, why wouldn't God continue moving through? If he's brought us this far, why would he not continue doing more than we've ever thought?
I don't know. I mean, I can't even begin to even wrap my head around really what's possible. I just know whatever I'm thinking, it's not big enough.
This is the normal for the kids. This is something normal for them. It's not normal for us. You know, it's still, it's like for them to see God move in this way, for them, it's like they don't question it. You know, it's like, okay, it's going to happen.
If we continue to be a people who listen to the voice of God and then act immediately and obey what God has told us, and there's absolutely no limit to what he's going to be able to do through us, through this ministry, through the church's impact. God said, I told you so. I told you so. Say, I told you so. The team that started the church, that's some of them. It was eight families. It was eight families. The only thing we were big enough to surround was a few folding tables. That's the tables. That's the families. I mean, that team. God started speaking to us, and we would say things like, you know, let's take over. It may sound arrogant to hear that now, but that's how you have to think when you're just getting started. Let's do something. Let's just make some noise. We thought of it like a ripple. When you surround something, and think of a pebble dropping in and making the ripple effect. We thought of it like that. And as the rock got bigger, so did the ripple. And this team, who all sold their houses and quit their jobs and came here just because we believed God had spoken. Just because we didn't see it, but we believed he spoke it.
And we believe God would use us to surround a city with the message of Jesus. So that, you know, let me use my little, I have a pointer too, y'all. No, this thing is serious. It's serious. And I could totally turn it on you at any moment. This somehow brings out my inner fourth grader. I feel the spirit of Bart Simpson coming on me right now. But we were just, you know, hey, let's do this. Oh, hey, yeah, I had no idea. There's Larry Bry. Normally looks happier than that. He's grumpy LB. There's Amy. There's Chunks. This is when Chunks was still holding on to a few pieces of hair follicle before he started taking steroids. There's Holly. There's Elijah. She said I could tell you she was pregnant in that picture so you wouldn't think those were her heavier days after the honeymoon. I will point out that even back then I had a strong desire to grow facial hair, but how many know you got to start with the chin? And if you start with the hair on your chinny chin chin, then you can grow it. And now the full glory of God is being revealed. But you got to start somewhere. Tell somebody, start somewhere. And out of that, here's the evidence. Come on, evidence of God's faithfulness came this. Surround. That's our Providence location. They're still going strong. Still going strong at Providence. Again, you can see I was on a quest to find myself in platinum in a white suit for Easter. But we just believed in God, gave us a presence. There's one campus, and that old Baptist preacher came to me and said, start another campus. I didn't even know what another campus was. He said, where they watch you on video. I said, nobody will do that. People won't do that. They show up to hear me preach on a video. Can't believe they come to hear me preach live on a video. And he said, well, preacher, there's two ways to do this. If you get ahead of God trying to obey him, he can shut a door to stop you. But if you get behind him because you won't obey him, he'll find somebody else. And so that group at Providence, we decided we didn't want him to find somebody else. We want to be a part. We want to be a part of what he was doing because he's going to do what he's going to do. And he invites us to come along. So that group got together under these Cirque du Soleil tents on the Providence. Was it the practice field maybe? Providence High School. And we launched a campaign called Dominate, where I told the people that we are going to dominate the city with the love of Jesus. It's kind of a strange juxtaposition, but it's what we had at the time. And I said that we were going to go forth aggressively advancing the gospel. And we don't have a building picked out yet, but we want to be ready when we find the building. Because we have to sometimes believe it in order to see it. And they gave big, they gave millions of dollars to that campaign called Dominate, which resulted in that Matthews campus where thousands of people are worshiping right now this weekend. The one where they told us, because it's a whole plaza, it's a whole plaza, and they told us that some of the tenants in the plaza didn't want us in there having church to lease it. So we just went and prayed. We thought about walking around the wall seven times to see if they would fall down. But then we just prayed, and every day I would drive by, I stretch my hand toward it. And some of y'all don't believe in this, and you don't have to. I don't need you to believe for my faith to be strong. But I would go by it every day and pray when I would drive by it and pray, God, we're going to have church in that place. And that became our Matthews campus. Our offices are there. Oh, and by the way, just how cool God is. The plaza where they told us we couldn't have the warehouse, where we couldn't lease the warehouse, we've been leasing it for several years now, but just this week, we went ahead and bought the whole plaza. Bought the whole plaza. I said, come on, Matthews, we bought the whole plaza. Just bought it. To God be the glory. Bought that sucker. It's all right if I brag on Jesus, eh? I see him doing stuff like this on Saturday nights, celebrating stuff that doesn't have an eternal difference. I want to take a moment and say on behalf of God, I told you so. The Lord said, I told you, I bless you if you step out in faith. He said, but funny thing about you people, you tend to give yourselves the credit after I do it. He says, so what I need to do, I need to do stuff that's so big that that people will know you're not that smart. People will know you're not that good. Well, that was one phase, and we thought having three campuses was amazing. It was, and there's the Uptown campus that we started. What's up, Uptown? Still going strong. And then we ran out of room again. I talked to a person recently who started his conversation with me like this. He said, I didn't know you were the preacher. I saw the sticker on your car. I didn't know you were the preacher. We heard about your church. Oh, Lord. He said, we probably won't be visiting. My wife has mega churchophobia. And so I'm wanting to say all kind of stuff, you know, rein it in for it, because I want to be like, what is the symptoms? Is it a rash? Is it painful? And you know how you think of stuff you wish you'd have said, but you think of it 3 hours later? And I thought I should have told her, then your wife better do everything she needs to do to not go to heaven. Because if she don't like a big church, she's going to break out in all kinds of hives when she gets to heaven and sees people from every tribe and tongue and nation worshiping God with the doors open, with the city whose gates that are never shut. She's gonna go into convulsions. But this group of people, they decided, no, we can't be done growing because it's not about us. We're here, but it's not about us. It's about something to give to our children. It's about something beyond us. It's about something bigger than us. It's about surrounding. I need you to understand today that you are sitting in someone else's sacrifice. I'm going to let that sink in at every location. You go to church each week in a building that somebody else gave toward and paid for, and they'll never even visit it. That's what these people that are a part of this church have kept doing over and over again. It takes a selfless church to be a big church. Because you got to look at what we have and say it's good, but God's not done. And that's what they did. And so this group, they came together, we put a tent up on what is now the Blakeney campus, and they gave millions of dollars at Kingdom Come. That was an amazing night. There's my man Ted Sanchez. Hold on. Yeah, there's Ted. He's filling up every baptism tank every week still. These people that you don't see them, they're not on TV or anything. They don't have a little name slide or anything like that. They're not as cute as Chris Brown is. I gotta get a new one. Chris is getting old. I can't make him the heartthrob much longer. But they do what they do, and they give what they can give. And somebody gave $1 million, and other people gave smaller amounts and all amounts in between. But the people of God gave millions of dollars, and that turned into this. That turned into the location where I'm preaching from, all over the world. Going on TV all over the world, going all over the city from our Blakeney location where people line up to go to church. I said they line up to go to church, and it's just normal, and stand in the rain to get in the presence of God and experience Jesus in surroundings, surrounding, starting other campuses, people just giving and giving and giving and giving and doing what we can, and let's go, let's go, let's go, and let's don't stop. And we started that Rock Hill campus and the Gaston campus. I'm coming to Gaston Tuesday for Heart and Soul. I can't wait. I love Gaston County. Holly called me a couple Christmases ago. She was trying to shop in Gaston County, and it was so crowded, and she said, if you don't start a campus out here soon, you're an idiot. And that's how we started the Gaston campus. And there's University City. They're crazy. They will run you over at University City. They are amazing. And all of this that God was giving us, a presence surrounding our city, started with a pebble, and then his presence. It's amazing. I gotta talk about it, y'all. I gotta talk about it. Sometimes I feel like I tell these stories all the time, but he said, I need to remind you so you won't think that it's about you. sitting in someone else's sacrifice, not even realizing the price that someone paid, so you could have a church where you could come and experience God. So then we did Banner Years. Banner Years was an offering where in one single offering, the people gave over $7 million. Just ordinary people. Sitting where you sit. Not so they could build a gym or a family life center that they could go exercise at, but to start to surround the city with the love of Christ. And that turned into, of course, Jesus is our banner. And we talked about how every year ought to be a banner year for a believer. And that resulted in Elevation Lake Norman, over 2,000 people a week coming there. Well, that's exciting. People gave to that live nowhere near Lake Norman. Some of you from out of our area, these areas mean not. People gave to build Lake Norman who don't even like the lake, who hate boats, but who love God and love people. And then we took some of that money and bought the land in Ballantyne for cash that we're building our Ballantyne campus on for cash. And that one's coming along. Y'all need to pray. Y'all aren't praying enough. That thing's coming along slow with all the permitting. It's coming at a snail's pace. Literally. The inside joke. It's a leader thing. And we bought that. But then the people had given so much that we were able to go ahead and get a building for University City ahead of schedule. And I'm going to tell you, they're on their feet right now. They are. Go ahead. Go nuts, University. We'll wait. Because University City is moving into their new location, God willing, April 2015 for Easter. Or before. Getting ahead. And see, that's what we got to keep doing. You understand that? We can't just sit in someone else's sacrifice forever. You can't just sit in someone else's sacrifice. Now we started around the table. And now God, if you don't care about church, if you think that, you know, church is a religious activity, you come to get your good God luck, or you come so maybe your kids will pick something up and have a religion, this won't fire you up. But if you've been changed, and you know that you owe your very life to God, when you see that, and you see the opportunity that God has given us to surround the city, it just takes me back. I mean, she had to be there because it was one evening that me and Holly and Chunks and Amy were driving. We weren't even trying to go to Charlotte. We didn't live in Charlotte, but we were driving back from Raleigh. And what's up, Raleigh? Raleigh is on with us now too. Kind of cool. But we're driving back from Raleigh, and both of our wives were pregnant, and we decided at the last minute, after eating Mexican food on a Friday night, which if you eat Mexican food, you can think you hear from God, but you really just ate too much Mexican food. And we said, let's go to Raleigh, let's make a trip. And we got there at 3 a.m, and all of the hotels were booked, and our wives were very pregnant and not very happy because we didn't think ahead. And so we finally got a hotel room at like 3:30 a.m, and we drove around Raleigh all day, but felt like that wasn't where we should start the church. And we're driving back, and we're driving around 485. I-485, which is the highway that surrounds our city. And we were driving around I-485. And it was while we were driving around I-485 that God kind of put an impression in my heart, because I saw all the new construction. We were around exit 65, I think it is, on 485, where there used to be a restaurant called Joe's Crab Shack. It's not there anymore, which is an atrocity. Because that was the place where we sat down and I looked at everybody that was with me and I said, I think this is the city. I think this is it. I think this is where God wants us to give our lives. And we started building and start building. And just like that highway where we were driving surrounds our city. Now God has given us an opportunity. But you, how many of you know, just like I-485 is never really done, is perpetually under construction. Come on, somebody. Don't cuss. Say amen. We're not done either. We're not done either. We're not done either. We're not done either. God has given us, can you see it, the opportunity to surround our cities, to surround the people at our church, to surround them with good news, to surround them with compassion, to surround them with blessing. This is the call of the church, to surround the world, to surround everywhere we go. We should surround like that interstate. Hey, wait on a second. I-485, that kind of reminds me. For months on that. He said, therefore I told you these things long ago. I was at work in the midst before you saw the evidence. I announced them to you so that you could say. Touch seven people, tell them, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Surround. Come on. Who wants to help me get our arms around people? Get our arms around problems. Get our arms around our children, our communities. He said, I told you so that you wouldn't think it was all about you. To God be the glory for the things He has done. He said, I want to do it so big that there won't be any mistaking who was responsible for the results. For I am God, and beside me there is no other. And I want you to dream big and think big and go big and give big. Surround. I told you so, God says. And we are now poised and positioned like never before within our city. And I want you to see, just like those dots are pulsing on that map, the opportunities and potential are pulsing at our different locations right now to continue to surround our communities with the love of Jesus. To continue to surround. Y'all, when I think about church, I don't think 5 years. I think about my children's children. Come on, surround. Tell somebody, surround. I want my kids to be surrounded in a church where they just look up and can throw a stone and hit a changed life. Just throw a stone and hit a saved marriage. Just throw a stone and hit a saved soul. Just throw a stone. The evidence is all around. And it's getting bigger, y'all, because now what we got to do, we got to take these campuses that meet in portable locations like we've been doing and get them in a permanent location so then they can have baby campuses. Because we don't maintain, we multiply. We don't grow by addition, we grow by multiplication. So we got to get Gaston, we got to get them their own building in the next few years, yeah? And then Rock Hill, we got to get them their building. They're crazy, they got radical faith. And we got to get Concord their own building. And then we got to go because we got to go to Raleigh. We got to keep it building in Raleigh. We got to get another hub. We got to start another pocket and surround from there. And then we got to stay in the GTA. We got to stay up there in the GTA and help them because they want to move with God. And we got to help all these places. And Roanoke, Virginia. Who? Roanoke, Virginia. Why are we in Roanoke? Because there were like 50 people who would just get together and watch the sermons each week. And then they started asking us, can we have what you have in Charlotte, in Roanoke? So we figured, maybe God doesn't just want us to surround one city. Maybe God wants us to think a little bigger. Think a little broader. Have a little faith. And surround our cities. So I'm calling on everybody in this church now who has experienced a change in your life because of what God has done through this body of believers. I'm calling on you to now link up with those who have already sacrificed before you. And at the end of this series on December 13th and 14th, we're going to take a special year-end offering just like we did under that Dominate tent, just like we did during Kingdom Come, just like we did during Banner Years. And we're trusting God's people to be faithful to the God who has always been faithful to us. And we're trusting that the resources are going to come, not for us to do the projects we're already doing. We're already doing those, whether you give or not. We manage the money well. We don't have to come and raise offerings for what we're already doing. We prepare in faith for what's next. And we've got more ground to take, church. you, I'm going to say it again, are sitting in someone else's sacrifice. And maybe it's time for you to not just shout about what God is doing, but sacrifice so God can do it again for somebody else. And he'll come through. How do I know? The evidence is all around. It's all around. We see evidence every week of God's power in this church. You have no excuse in this church if you don't believe in the saving power of Jesus. Because the evidence is there every week. Every week we see people giving their lives to Christ. Every week we see people taking a step of faith. Every week. Every day. Every day. My mom always said I would have made a good attorney. She always said that. She said, because you could argue with a totem pole. And I didn't know what that expression really meant until Elijah turned like 6. He's building a case. Isaiah is like a good attorney. He's admitting the evidence for the consideration of the jury. He's saying, look at what God has done. Look how he kept you. Look how he blessed you. Look how he made a way. Look how. Is he not faithful? Is he not worthy? Look at the evidence. Exhibit A. The evidence that God is moving. The evidence. Scott is evidence. Scott was baptized a few weeks ago in our church. He's evidence. He's exhibit A. Because he told us how he had multiple failed marriages and a melanoma diagnosis. But now he said God has surrounded him with an e-group of men who are helping him learn to be a follower of Christ. That's the evidence, y'all. It's never been about the buildings. The buildings are a tool. The buildings are a tool so God can change hearts. And when God changes hearts, people change the world. That's the evidence. That's the evidence that I need. So Jenna is evidence. Jenna overcame sexual assault and depression when she discovered God's promise that she is more than the woman her past says that she is. If you're looking for evidence of what God can do, Tristan is evidence. Tristan got sidetracked smoking weed and partying in school, but God showed him that he can turn mistakes into miracles. And Tristan is the evidence of God's faithfulness. Kendra is evidence. She said she got confused about her identity and started becoming someone she never wanted to be. But God has recaptured her heart and redirected her focus. And that's the evidence that we're looking for. Wes is evidence. Wes told us about his struggle with drugs and jail and even an attempted suicide. But he had a daughter who was praying for him to come to church on Easter. And he came to church on Easter and then gave his life to Christ a few weeks later. And now he's following Jesus. He's the evidence. Here's Abby. Abby is evidence. She said that addiction and a failed marriage almost took her out, but now God is putting together the pieces to make her a new creation. Come on, we got evidence, church. I'm saying we got evidence. I'm saying we got evidence. Here's Jessica. She's evidence. Here's Austin. He's evidence. Here's Jalen. Evidence. Here's Emily. Evidence. Here's Kevin. Evidence. Here's Sarah Catherine. Evidence. Here's Chris. That's evidence. Here's Misty. That's evidence. Here's Tim. I'm happy. That's evidence. Don't clap if you want. Here's Madison. That's evidence. Here's Brittany. That's evidence. Here's Jamia. That's evidence. Here's Jonathan. That's evidence. Here's Andrea. Evidence. Ethan. Evidence. Izzy. Evidence. Dustin. Evidence. Heather. Evidence. 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 Miracle. 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 Faithfulness. 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 Jesus. 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 Evidence. 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 Miracle.
Can happen now.
Spirit,
for the Spirit.
I need to tell you something. That's just the baptisms from the last few weeks. That's just the opening argument, Your Honor. Stand up on your feet because you're going to be standing when I say this. Stand up. They just told me, you want some evidence that God is on the move? You want some evidence that it's God and it's not us? You want some evidence that the best is yet to come? You want some evidence that God is doing a new thing? You want some evidence? They just told me that last week. And it's all right if you go completely bonkers when I share this. They just told me, we just baptized our 10,000th person.
Oh God. Now you better praise him. You ought to. You need to. We ought to. We owe him a praise. To God be the glory for the great things. Come on, he told you so.
See, God is not a political pundit. He doesn't make predictions. He makes promises. And he's not a politician, so he keeps them. Now, it's one thing to see the miracle. It's another thing to be the miracle. To be the miracle. It's one thing to see the evidence. It's another thing to be the evidence. And I reckon it's time for me. It's been a while since I've done it. So I reckon it's time for me to step out here and say something that sounds ridiculous. To just say something. I was praying with some men before we came out to preach this worship experience. And one of them said, thank you for not putting a lid on God. And I said, well, this is really simple. One of my friends once told me that God has always been looking for someone dumb enough to just say yes. And as long as we'll be that, then he'll use us. So I wondered, in light of the evidence that's surrounding us and all the ways that God has blessed us, can we set our sights again as a church? Set our sights again. And what if, he's saying what if, and we can do it if you want. What if we set our sights? Now listen, I just put another zero up there. I said, what if we make up our minds to come together and reach 100,000 people for Jesus as a church? Can he do it? You want to do it?